enable us to serve you better. We love you, and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Thank you first to Pastor Shelley for the opportunity to preach again. It's always a blessing and an honor, and thank you guys for being in church this morning. We're here in Proverbs chapter number 28, and I want to read verse number 4. The Bible says, "They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them." So, you know, the Bible gives us kind of a principle here to where we could tell that someone has forsaken God's word and God's law by the fact that they openly praise wicked people. But if you're actually someone that keeps the law, you obey God's commandments, you're doing your best to follow God's commandments, what you're going to do is you're going to contend with wicked people. Not praise them, but contend with them. And since we see so many people today in our culture and even in Christianity, so-called, forsaking the Bible, we see a lot of Christians praising wicked people. And the title of my sermon this morning is Andrew Tate Exposed. Andrew Tate Exposed. Now, I'm kind of embarrassed that this even needs to be preached. I'm kind of embarrassed that the state of Christianity in America is so pathetic that there's even Christians that are defending and praising a guy like Andrew Tate. And not only Christians, but even people that are in the new IFB. I have heard with my own ears praise and defend this person to me. And I'm not the only one. I've heard Pastor Anderson say the same thing. I've heard Pastor Jones say the same thing. I've heard Pastor Mejia say the same thing. So this isn't just some sort of straw man where no one actually believes this. There's actually people, and you could tell by the things they talk about and the things that they say, that like this guy, Andrew Tate. Now, I know, I understand some of you may not even know who this is, and praise God for that if you don't. Okay, so for those of you that don't know, I'm just going to give you a quick explanation of who this guy is. This is what Wikipedia says about Andrew Tate. Andrew Tate is an American British media personality, businessman, and former professional kickboxer. Tate began kickboxing in 2005 and gained his first championship in 2009. He attracted wider attention in 2016 when he appeared on the British reality show Big Brother. He was removed from the show after a video emerged of Tate repeatedly striking a woman with a belt. The two later stated the act was consensual. He began offering paid courses and memberships through his website and rose to fame as an internet celebrity promoting an ultra-masculine, ultra-luxurious lifestyle. In December of 2022, Tate and his brother Tristan were arrested in Romania along with two women. All four are suspected of human trafficking and forming an organized crime group. Romanian police allege that the group coerced victims into creating paid pornography for social media. In 2023, all four were moved to house arrest while the investigation continued after being held in custody since their arrest. In June, they were charged with rape, human trafficking, and forming an organized crime group to sexually exploit women. Tate and his brother deny all charges. So this is basically the guy that so many people on the internet are idolizing. A lot of young men are sucked into following this guy because he promotes a really masculine, quote-unquote, lifestyle. And he promotes being rich and having all these beautiful women around him. And so simple, foolish young men get sucked in to this guy's philosophy and this guy's ideas. And that's what we're going to be exposing this morning. Now, he runs a business called Hustlers University. And basically, idiots pay this guy money for him to teach you how to invest in cryptocurrency and how to all these get-rich-quick schemes and basically how to, you know, be a top G. How to be an alpha male, okay? That's basically what people are paying this guy to do. So this morning, I want to give you 5 reasons why Andrew Tate is wicked. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 13. Deuteronomy chapter number 13. Number one, the first reason why Andrew Tate is wicked is because he promotes Islam and attacks Christianity. Now, you think we should be able to just end the sermon right there that no Christian should ever defend someone that promotes a false religion and that attacks the God of the Bible, that attacks Christianity. But this is what Tate said. He said, "This is why I'm Muslim. Any Christian who believes in good and understands the true battle against evil must convert." So he's saying Christians must convert to Islam. He's a false prophet. He's telling people this is what you need to do. You need to leave Christ, leave Christianity, and convert to Islam. Now, Deuteronomy chapter number 13, let me get there myself. Deuteronomy chapter number 13, he's constantly talking about how weak Christianity is and how the God of the Bible can just be mocked and no one cares and Christians don't take the Bible seriously and Christianity isn't a serious religion. He said that Islam is the last religion on the planet, okay? And he wants to paint Christianity as weak. But let's see what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 13. Start reading verse number 1. It says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So the Bible's saying, hey, if you got a false prophet, even if he's doing miracles in front of you, even if he's performing signs and wonders, if he's saying, hey, leave the God of the Bible and come worship these other gods, the Bible says, don't hearken to that person. God's testing you. Don't listen to anyone that's trying to take you away from the God of the Bible. Let's keep reading. Verse 4. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put away the evil from the midst of thee. So the Bible's saying, look, if someone's trying to take you away from God, in God's law, in the Old Testament, if God's ruling the nation, he's saying, if you have a false prophet that's telling you to serve other gods, you know what should happen to that person? He should be executed. How weak of a religion is that again, Andrew Tate? If your tweet that you just posted actually would have gotten you killed in Old Testament Israel. Right, doesn't sound like a weak religion to me. And in God's law in the future, when God is reigning on this earth, if someone's saying, hey, forsake Jesus Christ and worship this false god, you know what's going to happen to them? They're going to be executed. Because that's God's law. It doesn't seem like a weak religion to me. And look at how extreme this actually goes. In verse 6, it says, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people that are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth even unto the other end, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him. Notice this, neither shall thine eye pity, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him. So the Bible's saying, look, our loyalty to God should be so extreme that even if your brother, your wife, your mom, your dad, if they're a false prophet that's saying, hey, turn away from God and let's serve another God, the Bible says your hand is supposed to be first upon them to put them to death. You're supposed to be the person that's bringing the accusation to the government against them, saying, look at what this false prophet is saying. This person needs to be punished. That's pretty intense, isn't it? Doesn't sound like a weak religion that just allows God to be mocked. No, God does not allow him to be mocked. God does not allow his name to be blasphemed, and there's punishments for doing so. And Andrew Tate, like I said, if he said this in Old Testament Israel, he would have been executed for it. So don't mock the God of the Bible. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. What should be mocked is Islam, that had a prophet named Muhammad that couldn't read, that married a 6-year-old and consummated the marriage when they were 9.
Right.
That's the religion that should be mocked. Amen. It's a religion of pedophiles.
Right.
It's a religion of piss. Yeah. Piss be upon Muhammad. Yeah. Not peace be upon him. Piss be upon Muhammad. Sends people to hell. And I don't understand how any Christian could ever overlook that. How can you ever overlook someone that's turning people away from Christ? How can you ever support that person in any way, shape, or form? And there's people on YouTube saying, I converted from Christianity to Islam because of Andrew Tate. This guy literally is harming people's souls. And we have Christians today that are defending him because he promotes working out. Like that is somehow worth forgiving the fact that he's a false prophet. Because he promotes working out. What's the mentality we should have as Christians? 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, look at verse number 14. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You know, we have a commandment in verse 17 that us as God's people, we're supposed to be separate. We're supposed to be separated from unbelievers. Now, if you read John chapter 17, we know, of course, that Jesus wants us to be in the world, just not of the world. So it's not saying you have to go have a commune that's separate from society where you're only with Christians. No, we can live amongst the unsaved. We could work amongst the unsaved. And hey, if there's an unsaved person that has like a job or a skill that you want to learn, it's okay learning carnal things from people that are unsaved. But when it comes to religion or when it comes to philosophy of life or wisdom, you're not going to get that kind of stuff from an unsaved person. And you shouldn't get that kind of stuff from an unsaved person. If, you know, Andrew Tate was the best software developer in the world and he was selling a course on how to become a software developer, there'd be nothing wrong with taking that. But there is something wrong with letting Andrew Tate, a Muslim, teach you philosophy on women, philosophy on money, philosophy on life, philosophy on all these things that the Bible talks about. No, God says that we should be separate from those people. And so no matter who the person is or what religion they have, if it's not Christianity, I'm not interested about learning life from that person. I'm not interested about learning about marriage from that person or anything that God has already taught us about. And how sick is it that we literally have Christians promoting a Muslim? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so people are forsaking Christianity and will literally burn in hell for all of eternity because of Andrew Tate. And we have Christians just overlooking that. Look, the reason why this is number one in the sermon is because this is the most important thing. Why you should reject Andrew Tate is because he's a Muslim.
That's right.
He promotes Islam. It's wicked as hell. I'll read for you 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. It says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You know, Paul is telling Timothy here that it's important the source that you learn things from. It's important to learn things from people that you know are godly, that you know are saved, that you know have biblical values that they're teaching you, and not just let any bozo that pops up on your Instagram feed or your YouTube feed give you philosophy on life. And here's the thing, don't just apply this to Andrew Tate, apply this to whoever the guru is you listen to online. You know, ladies, if there's some unsaved woman that's telling you how to be a wife, stop listening to that person. That person's not going to give you any wisdom. You know, don't listen to Pearl, okay? Don't listen to the just pearly girl, whatever. The single woman that's not married that wants to teach every wife how to be a good wife. It's like, that's cringe. What are you doing? Don't listen to that weirdo. It's gross. Number one, why you should reject Andrew Tate is because he promotes Islam and attacks Christianity. Number two, why you should reject Andrew Tate is because Andrew Tate is a fag.
Yeah.
I said Andrew Tate is a fag. I'll prove that to you.
Right.
Go to Proverbs chapter number 14. Proverbs chapter number 14. Now I'm going to read a quote here. And when I read his quotes, realize that I have to change some of the wording in his quotes because he speaks with such a filthy and defiled mouth. And I can't verbatim say what he says from behind the pulpit. But you're going to get the idea of what I'm saying here. This is what he said. He said, listen, I recently posted a question on Twitter asking, would you rather be with a tranny, which is a legitimate 10, or a woman, which is a legitimate 1? There is no way any straight person would ever ask that question. Only a fag would come up with something so disgusting to think about. Only a fag. I am 100% convinced that Andrew Tate is a fag because no one would ever say that that's normal. He said, everyone's sitting there clicking woman, woman, woman because they think they're going to be gay if they click anything else. Yeah. That's why everyone clicks woman, you faggot, you sick freak. But he says, you're not thinking about the question. I am so smart. I operate on so many levels higher than the average man. You people are not thinking about the question. Think about this. He said, this is important. This is cultural. This affects the world we're now living in. What is straight? What is gay? It's all a big sliding spectrum, isn't it? That's your super macho alpha male that all you beta male single guys like to look up to. This guy is a queer.
That's right. Yeah.
No person would ever think of such a sick thing to say. He literally says gay and straight is a sliding spectrum. Really, is that what the Bible says? Absolutely not. There's straight and there's crooked. And if you're not straight, you're a fag. People are like, oh, what about all these straight pedophiles? Nope, doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. If you're a guy and you're with a female child, you know what you are? You're crooked. And so you're queer. You're disgusting. There's no such thing as a straight pedophile. Okay? You have straight and you have crooked. And that which is crooked cannot be made straight, the Bible says. Why are fags your hero? Why are you looking up to Andrew Tate, young man, that thinks he's so masculine and so cool when he's literally a fag? You should be ashamed of yourself. You should be embarrassed to ever say anything good about Andrew Tate. If you say anything good about Andrew Tate in front of me, I'm going to make fun of you. And you should be really embarrassed. And anyone that promotes Andrew Tate that is a Christian, especially attending a new IFB church, you should rebuke that person. This guy is wicked as hell. Proverbs 14, verse 7 says this, "Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit." Notice this. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there's favor. I've heard people say, oh, Andrew Tate was trolling in this question. He was just joking. Well, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that there's some things that just aren't funny. There's some things that just shouldn't be mocked. The Bible says that fools make a mock at sin. So let's just give that to you for a minute that he was joking, which I don't believe at all. I 100% believe he's being serious. But let's just give it to you for sake of argument that Andrew Tate was just joking around. Okay, well, that just proves he's a fool then. That just proves that he's a complete idiot for making a mock at sin. And what does the Bible say in verse 7? Go from the presence of a foolish man. Does it say buy his courses online? Does it say follow him on Instagram and on Twitter and repost all of his stupid talking points? No, it says go away from him. When someone's an idiot, when someone's a fool, get away from them. Why? Because their foolish ideas are going to influence you and ruin your life. If you decide to live your life like Andrew Tate, you will destroy your life, I promise you. And you know, we live in such a culture in 2023 America where everything's a joke, everything's mocked, everything's a meme, everything's made fun of. But you know, according to the Bible, there's some things that we just shouldn't joke around about. There's some things that just aren't funny. And you know, us as independent, fundamental Baptists, we need to bring this culture back to America where we don't joke about certain things. Yeah. We're not going to tell dirty jokes at work. We're not going to joke around about trannies. We're not going to joke around about adultery. We're not going to joke around about fornication. We're not going to joke around about drinking alcohol. We're not going to joke around about being a fag. It's not funny.
Right.
It's not funny. And look, I love memes and I love humor and I love comedy, but there's some things that should not be mocked. Because when you mock sin, you know what you're doing? Is you're bringing down the severity of sin in people's minds. They're saying, oh, you know, they're laughing about adultery. Must not be that big of a deal then. Oh, they're making fun of fornication. I guess it's not that serious of a commandment in God's word. No, we need to make sin exceeding sinful, like Romans chapter 7 says. And say, hey, when it comes to sin, we don't mock this. We don't make fun of this. It's not a laughing matter. We're dead sure not going to mock tranny, faggots, sodomy, anything like that. That's disgusting. No, that's actually a serious issue in America that, if you haven't noticed, is destroying our country. And I'm not going to laugh about it. And if Andrew Tate is making a joke here, he's a complete idiot for doing so. And anyone who even buys into this argument and wants to humor him in that joke is an idiot as well.
Right.
You know what? If you're constantly mocking sin, maybe you're just watching too much TV. Maybe you're watching too many filthy movies to where your mind has been so desensitized to sin where you think it's somehow okay to mock it. It tells us something about you when you're constantly mocking sin. It tells us that you're not paying attention to God's word. You're too much in the world. when you're mocking God's, when you're mocking sin. You know, this issue of sodomites in our country, it's not funny. It's not a laughing matter. It's not a laughing matter that according to the CDC, 62% of the HIV population in America is fags. That's not funny. It's not funny how homos are spreading diseases in all of our communities. It's not funny that I literally see billboards in Dallas about STDs because cities like Dallas and Houston and Austin, these hellhole Democrat cities, are so filled with people that are so far from God, they're spreading their filth everywhere in our communities. There's nothing funny about that. We need to take that seriously and preach against it. Amen. Go to Titus chapter number 1. If you're not convinced Andrew Tate is a fag with that one quote, I don't know what will convince you. Number 3 of why Andrew Tate is wicked is because Andrew Tate teaches men to make money by sinful means. Andrew Tate teaches men to make their money by sinful means. Now, Titus chapter 1 is written to a pastor. It's talking about the qualifications of a bishop. But, you know, the qualifications that are in a bishop aren't just for the pastor. It's qualities that every single Christian, that every single person should be striving to have in their life. Now, look at what it says in Titus 1:7. It says, "For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker." Notice this part I want to focus on. "Not given to filthy lucre." Filthy lucre. What is filthy lucre? Filthy lucre is unjust gain. Making money by sinful or immoral ways, that's what filthy lucre is. And the Bible's saying, hey, you don't want your pastor given to filthy lucre. You don't want your pastor to want to make money by sinful ways, because you know what ends up happening is you have pastors that'll preach lies for money. And so they're making money by sinning, by teaching lies. Look at what it says, verse 8, "But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped." What do these false prophets do? "Who subvert whole houses," notice this, "teaching things which they ought not." Why? "For filthy lucre's sake." So false prophets, what they do is they teach lies. They teach things that will harm people's lives or harm people's soul or damn people's soul to hell. And why do they do it? For filthy lucre's sake. They do it for money. They want to make money by any means possible, even if that means sinning. And us as God's people, God cares about the way that we make our money. God blessed people in the Bible. There are some really godly men that were really, really rich. There were some godly men that were really, really poor. But when you do make money, God cares about how you make it. He does. He doesn't want us to make money by sinful means. Now, let me explain to you how Andrew Tate makes his money. Now, of course, he used to be a kickboxer. He earned money that way. But I'm talking more recent, how more recently he's became super rich. So in April 21st of 2020, he posted this on his Twitter. He said, "Last month was great for Cam," which is his internet webcam business that he has his girls on, "and OnlyFans. 8 girls generated $551,000. I'll give them a couple thousand each and I'll keep the $500K. This month is looking to be even better." Notice, it's Dr. Andrew Tate. "I have a PhD. Get yours here." And then he has his link to his fraudulent university. So how is he making his money? By literally pimping women out on the internet. By selling women's bodies on the internet, he's making $551,000 a month. He's throwing them a couple grand each and keeping $500,000 for himself. This guy is disgusting. A filthy, wicked person that's selling women's body on the internet and making money from that. And this is who people are promoting today in Christianity. How sick and pathetic is that? When you go to his website, he offers 2 products. One is called the War Room, and there's no description of what you're even buying. There's no description. It's just called the War Room, and it's $7,979. You probably have a lot of idiots that buy that. I don't even know what it is. But wow, what a scammer this guy is. He also has a product called the Real World, where you're unplugging from the Matrix. for $49.99. You could buy his Hustler University, Real World, and Unplug from the Matrix. That was 2020. You say, oh, he's changed. He's conservative now. He doesn't care about that stuff anymore. Okay? I'm going to read to you kind of a longer quote here. But this is from July 29th, 2022. Okay? Just last year, where he brags about how he makes his money. Now, this is in a podcast format, so he has an interviewer and him speaking. So I'm kind of going to jump back between those two people. But try to pay attention for this somewhat lengthy quote here. So Tate's speaking. He says, so I was like, you know what? I'm taking over. So what I did is I unplugged their keyboards, his women that were in his, you know, webcam business, and I plugged a new one in from me behind the screen. So the chicks would be sitting there and they're hitting a keyboard that wasn't even plugged in. And me and my brother, and eventually some staff I trained, we would do all the talking. The girls were just pure famoozers, which he's British, and British people are weird and uses famoozer, just means swindler. You know, thank God we separated from that country. Okay, says, and they're just laughing and typing away and showing their bodies, and again, I'm changing some of his language. And these men were talking to ice-cold hustlers. We were taking their money, all of it. I had these guys selling their houses, life savings, loans, all of it to me. Give it all to me. The interviewer says, do you ever feel bad or no? I don't give a solitary blank. Okay. He said, we got to the point where we had these guys falling in love with my models big time, sending crazy money, and they were convinced that they were going to meet the chick. And this is almost where I kind of felt bad, because they were like, hey, can we meet? I've sent you $200,000. Can we meet? Can we meet? Can we meet? Then the interviewer says, what's the most that one person ever sent to one of your models? Tate says, $1 million in 1 year. The interviewer says, you don't feel bad at all? Tate says, why the blank would I care? So the girl would be online for 6 or 7 hours, and then she'd log off, she'd be sleeping or whatever, and I'd have staff on her WhatsApp. She'd be online 24 hours a day. So these dudes that are on the internet thinking they're talking to girls, they're actually talking to men. You know, keep that in mind if you want to be stupid and try to visit these sites. Her WhatsApp, or this or that, she was famoozing when she was asleep. We were bringing in money from the blanking sky. And here's, maybe this is a bit bad, here's where the famoozing would really start. I had a lot of girls who worked for me, and the best were Ukrainians or Russians. It's amazing because you'd get some guy, fall in love, and they'd arrange a day to meet. Oh, I need a visa, she'd say. Okay, he gets her the visa. I need money for the visa. How much is the visa? $900. No, but it's not $900 because I went to the embassy and they think I'm a risk and I need a return flight there and back and I need a hotel and I need spending money in my bank account or else they won't let me come. Okay, how much do you need? $10,000. All right, boom, 10 G's, no problem. You go back to the embassy a week later, you take a picture outside of the embassy, boom, you come back. Oh, they rejected my visa. They said we have to wait 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, they'll give it to me. Okay, baby, no problem. 2 more weeks of tips. Now he thinks he's going to get this girl, right? Now he's spending more money than he ever has. 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks. The 2 weeks come, some other problem shows up. Eventually, the girl, what she would do is she'd say, oh, I don't want to go to the embassy. And she'd give a really lame excuse to provoke the man to get angry. She'd say, oh, the embassy wants me to come back, but I have a headache. That was the one we used. He'd be like, I just sent you $1 million. You promised to come, and now you're saying you have a headache and don't want to go to your appointment? To make him mad on purpose, because that would annoy any man. And then that's what we needed. We needed that little trigger. So we go, oh, why are you being aggressive? I'm on the other side of the world, and I'm going to come travel by myself, and now you're being aggressive, and now I'm intimidated. And they'd flip it on the guy. He'd get furious because we were really good at poking him to the point where he'd be like, you're a scammer, you're a scammer. The guy would get mad and he'd leave. He'd stop tipping her. He'd stop coming to her. But for him, that was the only attractive woman in the world that would talk to him. So a few weeks later, he starts thinking maybe she was going to come. Maybe I got too mad when she had a headache. Maybe I should have been a little more patient and she would have been my girlfriend. And 100% of the time, in less than 3 months, they'd be back with an apology, a brand new pile of money, and the cycle would repeat. We killed the game. Millions of dollars a week. And it was not just because I had beautiful girls. It's not because webcam is easy. It's because I am a genius. And I put together an apparatus of genius behind the avatar of beauty, and we conquered the internet. It is unbelievable to me how any Christian could ever support this guy in any way. I feel embarrassed that I have to stand up here and explain this to you guys, but I've literally heard people saying that this guy's awesome. I've heard Christians in new IFB churches say, this guy is a top G. This guy is an alpha male. Is you really think God wants you making your money by selling women's bodies on the internet and lying to men? What is wrong with you? You are wicked if you support this person. God cares about how you make your money. And God is not pleased with someone that makes money in such a scummy, disgusting way like this. I mean, can you even believe that? And not only is he so wicked to scam people, but he's so shameless, he's just bragging about it. This guy is sick. Proverbs 28. Notice this in verse 6. It says, better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Yeah. Look, if you're poor, but you're righteous, praise God. You know, that's how you should be. God is way more happy with someone that's poor, that doesn't have a lot of money, but you know what? They love God, they're saved, they read their Bible, they take their family to church. The money that they do make, they earn it by honest, hard work, by the sweat of their face, not by scamming people, not by selling pornography on the internet. Notice, if you're rich, but you're perverse in your ways, God's not pleased with that. You could have all the money in the world, but if you make it by sinful means, God is upset with you. God is not pleased with that. Notice verse 7, it says, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son. But he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. Verse 8, he that by usury and unjust gain, I would say what Tate's doing is unjust gain, increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. What's the end result of this kind of person? Look at verse number 9. It says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. That's pretty intense to think about. That when you're this type of a wicked person, even if you're praying to God, your prayer to God is abominable to him. That's severe when you think about it. Verse 10, whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, like Andrew Tate's doing, he shall fall himself into his own pit, like getting arrested in Romania for human trafficking. But the upright shall have good things in possession. The rich man is wise in his own conceit. I am so genius. I'm a genius. I operate on so many levels higher than the average man. I am so smart, right? The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. And you know, that's what God's people should do. When you hear a rich man like Andrew Tate talking, you should search this guy out and say, whoa, obviously nothing he's saying is true. Obviously this guy is an idiot. Obviously this guy is Islamic and a fag and is telling people to make money by sinful means. Hey, maybe I shouldn't listen to him. That's what anyone with two brain cells to rub together would think. But apparently that's lacking in some people today. Proverbs 13, verse 5. Flip over to Proverbs chapter number 13. What should be our attitude towards people that make money this way? Look at Proverbs 13, verse 5. It says, a righteous man hateth lying, like exactly what Andrew Tate's doing, lying to men on the internet and making and taking their money, having them sell their houses, their life savings, all of their money. It says, but a wicked man is loathsome. It's sick to us. We hate it. It's gross. It's disgusting. And cometh to shame. And you know, when you see someone defending Andrew Tate or promoting him, just realize that this person has some serious wickedness in their heart. And if you like Andrew Tate still after this sermon, please stay the hell away from my children because you're perverted, because you're sick. There's something wrong with you if you still like Andrew Tate. Go to Proverbs chapter number 31. Proverbs chapter number 31. Proverbs 31. Here's the fourth reason why Andrew Tate is wicked. Andrew Tate promotes fornication and adultery. Andrew Tate promotes fornication and adultery as things that are cool, things that men should do, things that are a symbol of you being someone that's high status and just a great person. Here's a quote from him. And again, I'm changing language a little bit. He says, females are the ultimate status symbol. People think I'm running around with these hoes because I like fornication. That's nothing to do with the reason why I'm running around with these hoes. I got these hoes just so everyone knows who the Don is. Wow. how does anyone like this guy? What is wrong with you? Man, it's crazy. But look at Proverbs 31, verse 3. It says, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Andrew Tate and people like him, they want to paint this picture that men that commit fornication or men that cheat on their wives are strong. And it's a symbol of their power and of their status, of how many girls that they have. And it's something that's seen as cool and something that's seen as good. But the Bible says not to give your strength unto women. What does that mean? When you do give your strength unto women, it means that you're weak. It means that you're weak. Look, if you commit fornication or you commit adultery, you know what that shows? It shows that you're weak, not that you're strong. Andrew Tate running around with a bunch of women that aren't his wife, it just tells us how weak he is, how he can't tell his flesh no to anything. His flesh is in charge of his life. He has no control over himself. Why? Because he's a weak man. He's not an alpha male. He's weak. You know, saying that women, this is your ultimate status symbol. This is the ultimate status symbol of how much I can't control myself, right? This is like saying that the ultimate status symbol is being fat and out of shape. It's like, look at how cool I am because I can't tell my body no. Look at all these Twinkies I'm running around with, man. It's like, that doesn't mean you're strong, it means you're weak. The strong person is the one that actually says no to their flesh. The strong person, the one that says, no, I'm going to work out. I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to binge on ice cream and soda all day long. The person that does that is weak. The person that says no to their flesh, that person's actually strong, okay? Same thing when it comes to the sin of fornication and adultery. The guy that just gives himself everything his flesh wants, how does that make you strong, right? I mean, this is like the most common sin for men is fornication and adultery. It's like the most easy sin for men to just commit naturally. And it's like, why are you bragging that you're doing the most easy thing in the world? It's like committing fornication and committing adultery for men is like the easiest thing in the world, and you're bragging about that. No, what actually shows character is saying, hey, I actually am going to love one woman my entire life. Oh, actually, I'm going to be strong and actually keep my vow that I made before God Almighty. That's a man that's strong. A man that's strong is the one that stays with the same woman for a decade, for 2 decades, 3 decades, 4 decades, 5 decades, 6 decades, 7 decades, and is faithful to her his whole life. That's actually a man that's strong. That's actually a man that you should look up to as an alpha male. The guy that sticks with one woman. Because the guy that just goes with any woman, any guy can do that. That's easy. That's what your flesh wants to do anyways. That doesn't make you strong. It makes you weak. That's why the Bible says, don't give your strength unto women. Go to Malachi chapter number 3, the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi. Because unfortunately, as our country becomes more and more wicked, you know, the sin of fornication and the sin of adultery is being seen as just less severe. I feel like every year that goes on, people just care less about fornication. People care less about adultery. They don't see it as big of a deal anymore. But we need to remember to see things the way God sees them. Malachi chapter number 3, look at verse 5. He says, I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against the false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts, saying, I'm going to be witness against these people. I'm going to judge these people, specifically who? The adulterers. Look at verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You know, it does not matter what the culture is in the United States. It does not matter if the president of the United States is committing adultery in the Oval Office. It doesn't matter if everyone you know in your family is committing adultery or committing a fornication or it's somehow seen as normal in our culture. God doesn't change. And God's view on it never changes. And so it does not matter how wicked our culture gets. Fornication and adultery is always wicked. It's always wrong. We should never desensitize ourselves to it, and we should certainly never follow a loser beta male like Andrew Tate that brags about how many Twinkies he likes to eat and brags about how he can never say no to his flesh and brags about how weak he is. It's pathetic. Here's another quote from him. He says, I go out and fornicate, and I come back to her, his main girl, And he's saying, I don't care about her, the girl he fornicated with. I only love my girl. That's not cheating. That's exercise. So it's like, as long as you just love one woman, it's okay to just be a whore and be an adulterer with any other woman, just as long as your heart is only with one woman. No, wrong. The Bible teaches that if you go outside of the bounds of marriage, if you read in Leviticus, that's actually a capital punishment crime. It's something that's seen as very severe in the eyes of God. No, that is cheating, Andrew Tate. That absolutely is adultery. And it's always these simp young men that can't get a woman that want to think that stuff like that isn't cheating. It's pathetic. He says this. He says, if we talk about tradition, and go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. He says, if we talk about tradition, traditionally, every single man in history had multiple wives. What a claim that is. Every man in history had multiple wives. No, actually they didn't. Not even close. And he says, there was not a single woman who was ever celebrated for having multiple husbands. Female promiscuity has always been disgusting and frowned upon. So he's saying, hey, male promiscuity, good. Female promiscuity, oh, that's horrible, that's bad. This is perverted. Yeah. This is sick. To somehow say that, oh, it's okay for men to go out and cheat. It's okay for men to not be faithful to their wives, but women have to be faithful. That's disgusting. That's not what the Bible teaches. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. It says, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, singular. Does it say wives there? No. To avoid fornication, you get one wife. That's what you get for your life. And notice this, and let every woman have her own husband, right? That's how God created marriage. One man, one woman. I'm starting to sound like the old IFB up here. Marriage is between one man and one woman. It's a radical concept, but it's true. It's absolutely true. Not one man and five women, not one woman and five men, and definitely not a guy and a guy. Okay, it's obvious on that one. But look, that's what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 13. Flip over to Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter number 13. Verse number 4 says, marriage is honorable in all, in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness. Don't desire things that don't belong to you, like other people's wives. He says, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Look, this whole what boils down to these sins, fornication and adultery, is covetousness. And the Bible says that we should be content with the things that we have. God has blessed us. God has given us the beautiful, pure institution of marriage, and we ought not to defile that institution. We should be content with that institution. God gave us a way to avoid fornication, and it's your wife for life. And ladies, it's your husband for life. And we need to have enough character and enough love for God to not break that vow ever in our entire lives, no matter what. There's never an excuse for it. It's never okay. And you know what? It's certainly not something that's cool. It's certainly not something that should be idolized in pop culture by a guy named Andrew Tate. No, you know what's cool is children growing up with their mom and dad in their home because they didn't get divorced. Amen. You know what's cool is not having a burning and itching STD that you'll never get rid of in your entire life because you're such a whore or because you're such a whoremonger. That's cool. You know what's cool is being 60, 70 years old and being with the wife of your youth. That's cool. Amen. That's culture, Andrew Tate. That's world changing, is actually doing things God's way. That's cool. And you know, people that live this promiscuous, loose lifestyle, it's such an empty, vain, hollow life. There's no joy there. There's no happiness there. There's no watching your children being raised in a godly home and having a wife that you actually love and having a husband that actually loves his wife. You don't have that in these fornicating and adulterous relationships. It's vain. It's empty. And even though the temptation is a natural temptation, you need to realize and you need to be strong enough to tell your flesh, hey, this will never, ever make you happy. This will never, ever be worth it. No person has ever done this and said at the end of it, oh, it's totally worth it. No, it's always just shame, pain, sorrow, divorce, losing all your money in divorce court, your kids being raised by another man, getting diseases, ruining society. That's the result of fornication and adultery. And let it never, ever be promoted by a Christian. Unbelievable. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. The fifth reason why Andrew Tate is wicked is because he teaches people to love money. He promotes the love of money like almost no one I've ever seen, just promoting money, money, money. Here's some quotes from him. He said, "I've gotten mixed reviews about the color of my Bugatti. Some people like it, some people don't. So I said, what color is your Bugatti?" Like, oh, I'm so cool, I have a Bugatti. You're not cool because you don't have a Bugatti. He says, "I have everything every man has ever dreamed of. I've got a big mansion. I've got supercars. I can live anywhere I want. I've got unlimited women. I go where I want. I do anything I want all the time. So I am an amazing role model." And you know, the sad thing is that our society has degraded so much to where this guy actually is a role model for lots of people. Lots of people actually think that they'll be happy if they have everything they want at any time, at all times. But does that bring happiness? Absolutely not. No one is happy that lives that type of lifestyle. Here's this quote, and here's why I believe Andrew Tate is the most prideful human being alive. He makes Donald Trump look humble, okay? He says, "I don't believe in humble bragging. What does Trump do? He humble brags. Quite frankly, some people tell me that was the greatest mugshot I've ever seen. That's what they tell me. I said no. They said yes. I said okay," right? Okay, that's the humble bragging of Donald Trump, all right? Which is still prideful. It's still bragging. It's still wrong, right? But this is what Tate says. He says, "I don't believe in humble bragging. I believe in real bragging. I'm richer and taller and more important than you." Wow. That is the most prideful human being alive. He's not even humble bragging like Trump, which is still ridiculously prideful, ridiculously just crazy and hilarious to listen to how prideful he is. This guy isn't even hiding it. He's like, "I'm not going to humble brag. I'm just going to real brag. I'm better than you. I'm richer than you. I'm taller than you." Are you going to say that to Pastor Thompson? Come on. It's ridiculous. 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at verse 6. It says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Hey, you want to gain in life? Why don't you get some godliness? Why don't you serve God with your life? That's going to enrich your life in ways that the world will never understand. The riches of Christ. You know, Colossians talks about how by Jesus Christ, we're enriched in all things. Everything in life is better as a Christian. Your marriage is better. Your work ethic is better. Your just joy is better. You're just a happier person serving Jesus Christ. He came to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. There's no happier lifestyle than that of serving Jesus Christ. Verse 7, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." You want to know why godliness is gain? Because it's the only thing that you can take with you into the next life. The things that you do that are spiritual, that are godly, that actually earns you rewards for the next life. But you know what? Your Bugattis can't go with you. Your supercars can't go with you. Your whores can't go with you. Her steps actually lead to hell, the Bible says. Your whores can't go with you. Your money can't go with you. Your alcohol can't go with you. Your nightly steak dinners can't go with you. Your fame, your accolades, none of that can go with you. You can't take anything out of this world besides godliness. Verse number 8, "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." You know, as Christians, we need to learn to just be content with the basics and stop loving things so much. Why is it that guys want to be like Andrew Tate? It's because they love this world. They love things. They love money. But you know what? You need to stop loving things so much. It's not about things. Life is not about things. It's about the spiritual. Amen. It's about winning souls to Christ. It's about getting your kids saved and keeping them pure until the marriage altar and raising them in the ways of God and being a positive influence on society as Christians. That is what life is about. But notice what happens to people that want to be rich. "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." You know, the Bible says that those that want to be rich, it's like they're falling into a snare. If you've ever seen like a video of people that trap animals for hunting or for fur or whatever, you know, you just see the animal walking right up to the trap and you're just like, "It's a trap. What are you doing? It's a trap." Boom, and they're snared in that trap and they're destroyed, right? This is what Christians are like when they want to take their focus off of the things of God and rather they want to be rich. You're like that dumb animal that's walking right into that trap. And no one's ever gotten into that trap and gotten out of it. It destroys your life. Notice what it says that it does. It says that it drowns men in destruction and perdition. I mean, think of the imagery of that, of someone just drowning, right? They can't breathe. They're drowning. They're falling under the water. They're going to die. This is your life pictured if you want to love money. You're going to just drown in what? Destruction and perdition. That's what your life is going to be like if you chase after being rich as a Christian. Now look, obviously God blesses people financially. And if you're doing that which is right in the eyes of God and God blesses you financially, praise God for that. That's great. That's fantastic. But what you should never do as a Christian is want to be rich. Where it's like, my goal in life is to be Andrew Tate. My goal in life is to be rich. Because what's going to happen is it's going to cause you to stop serving God. It's going to cause you to start to love filthy lucre and to want to try to make money in sinful ways. Notice verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Think about all the evil that Andrew Tate does. What's at the root of it? His love for money. Why is it that he does all these wicked sins and promotes all these wicked things? Because the guy loves money more than anything. Which, while some have coveted after, notice they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Again, think of the imagery here of someone just getting shot with an arrow or shot with a dart or something. It's saying when you do this, you're just piercing yourself through with many sorrows. The Bible can't be severe enough on this issue. I mean, the Bible's painting a very serious picture for us of those that love money. But what's the instruction to us? Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. That should be our focus. That should be our drive in our life is, hey, we're going to wake up every morning and we need to follow righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Imagine if every Christian in America worked as hard at being godly as Andrew Tate works at being wicked. What a huge difference that would make in our country. I mean, he's working hard. He's burning the midnight oil, typing away on his keyboard, scamming people's money. You know, what if Christians actually made it their life's focus to win souls to Christ, to get people in church, to serve in their local New Testament church, to lead their family in the ways of God? We'd live in a much different country if that was the case. But instead, we actually have Christians that are following this guy. It's completely backwards. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 2, and I'll read verse 12. It says, fight the good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You know, our exhortation is to fight the good fight of faith. Not everything in life we should be fighting. We shouldn't be fighting the fight to make a ton of money. That's not our fight. Our fight is to promote the kingdom of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Now, Solomon, he lived kind of a similar lifestyle as Andrew Tate. Not in the sense where he's promoting, you know, Islam or anything like that. But pretty much Solomon had everything he wanted. And everything that he could ever want, he could have at any time. And he kind of explains to us in Ecclesiastes what that lifestyle was like and how that affected him. Now look at verse number 1. It says, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this is also vanity. So he's saying, hey, I'm just going to live my life for pleasure. That's what I'm going to do. Verse 2, I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet equating my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. There's his mansion. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house, and I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings in the provinces. I gat me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was the portion of all my labor." I mean, look at the lifestyle he's describing here. He's got the mansions. He's got the orchards. He's got the swimming pools. He's got the servants, the men's servants, the women's servants. He's got singers just singing to him all day long. You read in other parts of the Bible, he's got apes. He's got peacocks. He's got silver. He's got gold. He's got oxen. He's got everything he could ever possibly want. He's just giving himself everything. But notice how he felt in verse 17. "Therefore, I hated life." You know, everyone in America thinks, oh, the American dream is just to get super rich and I'll have everything I want and then I'll be happy. But guess what? It's a complete lie. It's a complete lie. Because here's a man who literally had everything he ever wanted. He's probably the richest man to have ever walked the face of the earth, Solomon. He had everything he could ever wanted. And how did he feel about it? Was he happy? Was he fulfilled? He had all the women, you know, 1,000 wives. No, he said, "I hated life. I hated life." And you know, let that be a lesson for us, that if we try to adopt the mentality of Andrew Tate, where we want to get rich, we want to get all the things of this world, you know what's going to happen at the end of that? You're going to hate your life. You're going to be depressed. You're going to be sad. Why do you think so many movie stars and celebrities, they're hooked on drugs, they're hooked on alcohol, and they commit suicide? Because they hate their lives. Because their lives are empty and meaningless. They bring no value at all of anything that's actually substantive to this world. All they do is serve themselves, live for themselves. Their God is their belly. Their glory is their shame. And they hate themselves for it. They hate their life. Don't let the flashy cars fool you. Don't let the fancy sunglasses fool you. Don't let the Bugattis and the mansions and the girls fool you. Andrew Tate hates himself. Andrew Tate hates his life. Andrew Tate has no joy in his life. He is completely worthless. He's a scumbag. And when he dies, he's going to go straight to hell for all of eternity. Right. There's Andrew Tate. There's your hero. There's your alpha male. A worthless life and then hell. That's your hero. Go to Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16. I'll start reading in verse 19. "There was a certain rich man," you could just put Andrew Tate there, "which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." So you have a rich man that's so rich that he fares sumptuously every single day of his life. Just absolute riches every single day of his life. You have another guy who's so poor, he just wants to eat the crumbs that are falling from this guy's table. And he's so just down that he's being licked by dogs. He's got sores. I mean, this sounds rough. This is a rough life, right? But notice in verse 22, it says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." He's not having fun anymore. He says, "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented." You know, it's so much better to be poor and saved, to be poor and godly, and to live a rough life on earth, and you're struggling paycheck to paycheck your whole life, and you never have nice things, you never really make it financially, you never really have the nice cars and the nice dinners and all these things, but you know what? You die and you go to heaven, where you're going to be richer than any man that's ever walked the earth. And you're going to spend eternity on streets of gold with the King of Kings, with the Lord of Lords. It's better to have lived that life and to have been poor than to have had everything you ever want, all the joys, all the riches, everything you could possibly want, and to wake up and lift up your eyes in hell, in torments. And I'm telling you this right now, Andrew Tate, when he is in hell, he would trade anything to have given up his life as a rich man, as a top G, as an alpha. He would trade it all in a second to escape hell. But how many people today, they don't care about God, they don't care about getting saved, they don't care about believing on Jesus Christ because they're too obsessed with money, and they're going to die and wake up in hell for all of eternity, burning and being in torments for what? For money. For pointless Federal Reserve notes that have no real value, with worthless things on earth that bring no joy, no happiness, no satisfaction. You need to wake up, Christian, that that stuff does not matter. Do not allow yourself to be infected with the love of money. That is not your purpose in your life. Your purpose is the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, just in conclusion, I want us to think about this. You know, we need to be careful who we allow to influence us. And it's important to know about this kind of person because you need to be careful about who you're allowing influence your children as well. I don't think it's wise to just let your kids have unlimited access to TikTok and Instagram and YouTube and all this stuff, because this guy's going to pop up and this guy's going to tell your kids, hey, Islam is cool. Hey, being a fag is cool. Hey, making money by sinful means is cool. Hey, adultery and fornication is cool. Hey, loving money is cool. That's what this guy's going to teach your kids. We need to be careful and guard our children from the influences that are out there. And we need to realize that, hey, just because someone says one or two true things doesn't mean you just need to follow this person. It's like, oh, but Andrew Tate promotes men working out. You know who else promotes men working out? Michelle Obama. When I went to high school, Obama was the president at that time, and we had a home ec class, and Michelle Obama had a whole program that she wanted the kids of America to eat a certain way and to exercise. Michelle Obama promotes physical exercise. I guess we need to follow that thing. That's our new hero. That's our new role model, because it says to exercise. That's how stupid these people are when they're like, well, Andrew Tate made me start working out. Okay, who cares? Who cares? That has nothing to do with whether or not you should follow someone. And here's something that's really important for us men to think about. We need to step up as the role models in our culture, because young people, they need a hero. They need someone to look up to. They need someone to follow. And unfortunately in America, dads have dropped the ball. And dads aren't being their kids' heroes anymore. Dads aren't leading their children and being someone that could look up to. And so who are they following? Andrew Tate. And that should motivate us as men. Hey, no, we need to show the next generation what being a cool guy looks like. You know what being cool looks like? Going to church on Sunday morning. You know what's cool? Going to church on Sunday night. Yeah. You know what's cool? Going soul winning. Reading your King James Bible.
That's right.
Memorizing scripture. Being faithful to your wife. Hating faggots is cool.
That's right.
Not being a faggot. That's what we need to do. And hey, we should be masculine. Let's not, just because we're Christians, let's not just be these weak, emaciated, tiny men so that our kids look up to Andrew Tate. Lift a barbell, for crying out loud, young men. Get in the gym so that people will look up to you. Your kids will look up to you as the strongest man in the world and not Andrew Tate.
Right.
You need to learn how to be a good provider. You need to learn how to be a good protector and how to be skillful and how to be a godly Christian, how to be a real man. Don't let the world do it for you. You know, Andrew Tate motivates me to be a better dad, because God forbid any of my children would ever look up to a loser like Andrew Tate. And you better believe that in 10 years, there'll be a new Andrew Tate. In 10 years, there'll be a new Andrew Tate. And there'll be the female versions of the Andrew Tates for your kids to look up to. So moms and dads, we must pick up the ball here. We must be good influences for our children and not allow our kids to look up to these losers, to these freaks. And we need to reject people like Andrew Tate.
Amen. Right.
Don't ever let someone that's a Christian just promote Andrew Tate. You need to tell them how wicked this person is. No. Andrew Tate's wicked. He's a Muslim. What are you talking about? Andrew Tate's cool. He's sending people to hell. That's not cool. Oh, Andrew Tate's so cool. Wait a second. He's a fag. That's not cool. Oh, Andrew Tate's so awesome. Wait, he makes money by lying to people and selling women's bodies? That's what you think is cool? Wow. Oh, Andrew Tate's so cool. Oh, the guy that promotes fornication and adultery? How cool is that? Oh, Andrew Tate's so cool. Oh, the guy that promotes the love of money, that's going to cause people to absolutely ruin their lives and hate their lives and want to commit suicide and want to drink their sorrows away and want to do drugs. That's not cool. We should never allow someone like this to be influencing our culture, and we need to step up and be the voices of influence in America. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the King James Bible and for all the wisdom that we can glean from it. I just pray that we would gird up our minds and that we would use the word of God to judge people. We wouldn't just blindly follow someone because they're popular or because they're rich or because they said a couple of true things. I pray that we would all make Jesus Christ our hero, that we would look to him as the ultimate example of masculinity and of everything that is good. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, in closing, let's go to song number 100. Song number 100, Day by Day. Song number 100, Day by Day. All right, sing it out together on the verse.
Day by day, with me. Protection of his child and treasure is a charge.